Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And our next conversation is intended mostly for women, although the men who love them will want to listen in too. It's a conversation that not too long ago wouldn't have been heard on the radio, but it's important because it addresses problems women have suffered from forever. Let me introduce you to Dr. Adonis Hijaz, a newly appointed associate professor in the urology department at Upstate and a specialist in female pelvic floor disorders. Good morning, Dr. Hijaz.
Good morning, Tricia.
Welcome to Central New York.
Thank you.
You haven't been here a long time.
No.
And we have all the snow for you, lucky you.
Yeah.
Female pelvic disorders. Explain what they might be.
Well, female pelvic disorders probably are a constellation, a number of symptoms that are that affect the organs that exist in the pelvis of the woman, and these are the bladder, the uterus, the vagina, and the rectum. And these organs can exhibit symptoms like urinary incontinence affecting the bladder, or prolapse affecting the vagina and the uterus, or even defecatory problem like stool incontinence or rectal prolapse affecting the anorectal area.
All right, so the kinds of things that women would experience would be pain, urination when they don't want to,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things, and they might not even have names to put to them. I want to make sure they understand what we're talking about.
That's true.
Because these aren't things that women typically talk about, are they?
That's one of the major problems that hinder women from seeking help. And I call them the boundaries between the patient and the physician.
Right. Women are afraid to bring it up with their physicians.
Exactly.
And the problem is it really affects their quality of life, doesn't it?
It does affect the quality of life. It causes a major source of embarrassment for the patient herself. And unfortunately, the patient would feel that she is the only individual in the whole universe that has these problems. And this sense of embarrassment will build this bricks of the barrier between
right.
her seeking help or bringing it up to her physician.
Well, let's talk about how that's not so unusual. I mean, yes, women are embarrassed about it, but it's not unusual for them to have these symptoms, is it?
That's true. A lot of studies have shown that problems that affect the female pelvic health are very common. Statistics show that 1 out of 10 women will have surgery in their lifetime for either urinary incontinence, which is leaking of urine,
mm-hmm.
or for pelvic organ prolapse, and this is a long name, but it is actually vaginal prolapse.
And that's painful. They're feeling pain.
It can present as pain, but less likely. But it's also a bothersome sensation of pressure, or even a bulge coming out from the vagina. So that's what the patient feels when she notices the pelvic organ prolapse, or also called the bladder prolapse.
Well, you said 1 out of 10 women are having surgery, but it affects many more than that.
It does. It does affect many more of that. The statistics also show that the prevalence, which is the number of patients in a certain time point in a population of women who have pelvic floor disorders, is almost 25%.
25%.
Yeah, and this increases with age,
mm-hmm.
where the prevalence of these problems go up to 50% in a woman at the age of 80, for example.
You know, I would say then to women, as they look around and they get together with a group of their friends, they need to know that 1 out of every 4 or 2 out of every 4 of their friends are suffering from something like this, which means that they shouldn't be so embarrassed. It's not that unusual. And I think that's one of the messages we want to get this morning.
That's the most important message we want to tell our patients.
So let's talk about what we can do for women who have these problems. Can we cure the problems? Can they be fixed? Do women have to learn to control them? What's your approach?
Well, the message is actually multiple messages we can talk about today. The first most important message is you're not the only person.
Okay.
And the second message is that you have to bring it out. Don't keep it close to your chest, because if you keep it close to your chest and you don't talk about it, then nobody can address it. So
right. And so who should they talk to?
I think the first line would be the primary care physicians.
Okay.
I would encourage women to talk to their primary care physicians about that.
And if they're embarrassed, what they need to know is that doctors aren't there to make a judgment on something that's wrong with them.
Absolutely not.
They're certainly there to help them, and so broach the subject.
Absolutely not. There are misconceptions that we have in medicine. One of them is that this is an embarrassing problem, this is an aging problem, because I'm old, this is happening to me. But we have to approach it as this is a disease,
mm-hmm.
That we're trying to unreveal its nature. We know to some extent what causes it, and we know that to some extent what promotes it, mm-hmm. and what makes it progress in severity with time.
Ah.
Okay, so that's that. If we approach it in this way, that this is a disease entity, and it can be looked at as and such, then I think we can help.
Then do we say to women, the sooner you broach the subject with your primary care, the better chance you'll have of getting to the other side of it and not dealing with the problem?
This is what I believe.
Okay.
I believe if we identify the problem early on, when the problem occurs, then less invasive interventions could be helpful.
And when you say less invasive, you mean not necessarily surgery.
Exactly. Okay. Quality of life interventions, physical therapy interventions. There are multiple methods that we can do in order to help improve and to some extent cure the problem.
Now, you know, we see TV commercials and magazine ads for some of these drugs that are out there. And of course, that's a whole other subject on whether those ads should be out there. But there are drugs that address some of these things. Is that one of the things you deal with? One of the things you prescribe?
For sure. For sure. These drugs are made only for specifically for patients who have what we call overactive bladder,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily incontinence, but I need to go, I have the urge to go, I'm always spending time in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and these ads have good and they have good and bad points. I mean, depending upon how you look at it, but it also allowed such topics to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It also helped break this bridge between the embarrassment and the problem, because now it's advertised and people are knowing that this is really a problem, and we can talk about it.
A good outcome from advertising. That's
an
unusual
conversation. I think that's the good benefit of these.
And that is definitely a good thing. So, you know, when we talk about these kinds of symptoms, and I think myself, if I had those kinds of symptoms, I think I'd be talking to my gynecologist about them before my primary. Do you work with gynecologists?
I do work with gynecologists. The concept that we're trying to introduce in the Department of Urology when we came here is the multidisciplinary approach to the treatment of the pelvic floor disorders, we call them.
And so when you say multidisciplinary,
meaning involving the general surgeon who deals with the colon,
mm-hmm.
involving the gynecologist, he deals with the uterus and the with pregnancies and with the status of the gynecological system, mm-hmm. and the urologist. In addition to that, we encourage also having a physical therapist who is trained and specifically renders therapy for pelvic floor to be in this multidisciplinary team. And my hope would be to have a one physical place where all these people are coming, are present, and for the patient to come and have the advice given based on this approach. So hopefully that would be the aim of our presence here. And I think in addition to rendering the care, bringing all these talents together, putting the wealth of information together between us, the gynecologist, the colorectal surgeons, and the physical therapist, not only will improve the service that we render to the patient, but will improve our knowledge about mm-hmm. the problems that we will dealing with and promote our ability to advance the field.
And that's actually something that you are working into now, is some research, and we're actually going to ask you to come back one day
soon to talk to us about
your research. What else do you want women to know? You had a couple of messages, and I want to make sure we cover them. We only have about a minute left. We want them to say, I'm not going to be embarrassed. I am going to talk to my physician. I am going to ask questions. This can be fixed. Any other messages for them?
I think you covered all the messages that we want to do. Access mm-hmm. and embarrassment and the concepts that we want to overcome, which is, this is part of aging, and my grandmother had it, and it cannot be fixed. We want to tell the patients that this is, although aging contribute, but this happens because of a certain life event,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we can help. The earlier that you seek help, the earlier that, the better are the outcomes and the results. And they need to feel that they are empowered,
mm-hmm.
that there is something that they can do.
And I always love that word, empowered.
That's essentially what we need to do.
Well, Dr. Adonis Hijaz, thank you so much for coming by this morning. I know you've opened a lot of women's eyes.
Thank you.
Hopefully they're going to be dialing the telephone tomorrow to get in touch. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we do need to take a commercial break. Now we'll be back just in a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.